in my house, there is a woman, a man, a girl, a shrew, two baby boys, nine spiders, and several dozen honey ants. The remnants of several hundred that, until very recently, lived in the basement and made regular forays in orderly lines up the stairs and into the kitchen, where they fastidiously held out for honey and jelly, and adamantly refused the spoonfuls of peanut butter so generously proffered them by my daughter, who enjoys their company, and has taken to laying thin lines of honey across the kitchen in lovely patterns, including once a portrait of her father, who watched, awed, daughter in lap, as the lines of his face were populated slowly by ants hardly bigger than bits of sand. Oh, this bit of sweet theater made me think uncomfortably of the way that my face will someday be a highway for invertebrates when my body is no longer animated by the odd spirit that drives it today. But it also led me to ponder the ways in which my house is a thriving community of creatures, invited and uninvited, all dining on my dollar. Some are there by accident. The shrew fell through an open basement window and landed four square on a copy of Edward Gibbon's The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, which dazed the shrew, to the surprise of no one who has worked upstream against the cascade of Gibbonian sentences. Others, like the spiders and the boys, were born there and have known no other home and occasionally share the same diet, specifically beetles, which the boys are wonderfully quick at downing, to the dismay, I assume, of the spiders, not to mention the beetles. Thus we are bound by humor and beetles, by honey and spider silk, and by the shrew which could not be tamed. As it scrabbled away, I felt a pang of loss, for the shrew was one of us for a time, a stitch in the fabric of our family. And I thought, not for the first time, that we are each threaded to one another by love, thorough or insufficient, inexplicable and necessary, as ephemeral and savory as lines of honey, as the lines on the face of God.
Welcome to a very special Vashon Minute, where we take a moment to focus on one island issue or one island person at a time. What you just heard is island actor David Melke's interpretation of Oregon author Brian Doyle's essay titled, what is it titled, David?
I forget what that one's titled, but it's
we'll call it Ants.
On Family Life or Honey Ants.
Yeah. David is here with me in the VOV studio along with island singer-songwriter Kat Eggleston, and both these folks are part of the incredibly talented ensemble that will revive the 2019 performance of Kissing the Joy as It Flies for Vashon Repertory Theater, March 22nd to the 24th at Vashon Center for the Arts. Thank you both for being here so much. Kat, tell me why you're participating in this reprisal of Mike and Jerry Feinstein's production featuring Brian Doyle's work.
How long do we have? when we did it before, it was, admittedly, it was a wonderful show. It was a wonderful show with people that I am crazy about. Everything was good about it. After that was when I became a fanatic of Brian Doyle's writing, and I can't get enough of it. And I'm delighted every time I finish one of his books because there's enough density and material and enough layers in it that I'm going to forget a lot of the subtleties and get to reread it in another 6 months. So I've reread Mink River at least three times, I think.
And that's one of his novels, right?
It's one of his novels, and it's there's so... I was thinking about it before coming here because he had such a way of noticing and bringing to life all beauty and things. It's as if everything is breathing to him. Mm. That's the way it seemed to me anyway. And that includes dark things. It includes grief and suffering and death and heroism and courage. He goes in great length to, discussing some of the darker aspects of the Irish famine, which was dark to begin with, sometimes in the Irish language, and translates bits of it so that there's mystery involved. And so I can't, how long did you say we have?
Well, we're going to run out of time at this rate.
All right. So that's why.
Yeah. Which is pretty inviting. David, can you elaborate? Why are you involved in this production, and what do you know about Brian Doyle that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I know that he was an extraordinary writer, and when I read the script as it had been put together for the first production, I was just really taken with his words and his way with words and his, as Kat was saying, he covers everything. He doesn't shy away from the most horrific, terrifying aspects of life, but he also notices the most beautiful little minutia of life, and there is no minutia of life that he doesn't see as being reverential to grace and wonder and mystery and magic, and he weaves it all together. And like Kat, I had never, wasn't familiar with him, but I'd been reading his work since doing the show the last time, just as a fan of his work. And also, he inspires me because he's all about stories and the power of stories. That could be his motto, right? That the communication of humans with stories is how we feel less alone and connect with each other. And he inspires me to remember that all of our stories are important. Every single person. He was a big listener of soliciting stories. His father, who was a writer also, taught him that. As one of the main lessons he taught him was, listen. If you want to be a good writer, then listen. And Brian would say that he would get so many juicy, wonderful, succulent ideas just by listening to people and weaving those ideas, like Mink River, for example, his novel that a lot of people know about that's in development to be a major Hollywood feature film.
Yeah.
It started as just little bits, little sketches of things that he had collected over many, many years, and then he finally started to try to piece them together and see if he could make them into a novel. And so it's inspiring to anybody that, you know, just on the level of maybe wanting to write, that you just, you know, that you can write about anything and everybody has something to say. And from a living perspective, he talks a lot in his writing. He died when he was only 60 of a very sudden and aggressive brain tumor. And there's, when you read his writing, especially a lot of his essays and short pieces, death is something he talks about a lot, and imagining his own death in humorous ways and serious ways. It's almost like some part of him unconsciously knew that he had a limited time and he wanted to just savor and document every magical, wonderful thing about life. So it's very uplifting in that way to me.
Yeah, I've been writing the program for the show and pulling out what I call Doyleisms. And one of them was, we're here for a short time and we need to tell the stories. And Kat, you are obviously influenced by him because you kind of used a Doyle approach to describing it when you said everything breathes for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just, before we started, I was drawing a comparison between him and my friend Peter Beagle, because Peter writes the same way. It's as if it could be something completely inanimate, like a rock, and suddenly you feel like it's a goddess, you know.
So why would I, the average theater goer, want to go to this performance of Essays, especially if it's been done before? Why do I want to go now?
Well, if you went before, Jerry and Mike Feinstein have put it together, have added put in some new material. So there's that. But you should go if you just want to have like a jiggly kind of exercise of your humanity. you know, have your heart shivered a little bit. Laugh, cry, think. All the rich, juicy things that we go to theater for is packed into Brian Doyle's writing. And Cat's music.
And Cat's music
beautifully weaves it all together, like with the, in the most heart-touching way.
Like I said, at the time that we did it before, and when I was writing stuff to try to fit in with Brian's writing, I wasn't aware of how luminous his writing was, and so it felt like, as long as there's no pressure, I'll try to write what I can to fit in. But it was so inspiring. But the group, the ensemble, is everything is going to be a little bit new every time you go to see the show anyway, because that's how good this ensemble of actors is. So there you have it.
Yeah, I'd like to note for our listeners that all the actors in the ensemble who performed this show in 2019 have returned in full force and seem to be enjoying the rehearsals and the material as much or more than last time. Would that be a good guess?
Oh, absolutely. It's a testament to how special it is to work on that material with wonderful, open-hearted people. It doesn't get any better than that. We all feel that way. We all jumped at the chance to get to do it again, and we're just happy that we could work out everybody's schedules to do it.
I just want to encourage all you listeners to get your tickets at VashonCenterForTheArts.org for Kissing the Joy as It Flies, The Wit and Wisdom of Brian Doyle. You can do that at the Vashon, the VCA website, VashonCenterForTheArts.org. You owe it to your heart to go to this show. And Kat, would you please play us out? Tell us about this song.
I wrote this in honor of Brian Doyle, just because it seemed to be, I wanted to describe the way that he seems to think, or that he seemed to see the world. It seemed familiar to me anyway. So this is what came out of that.
Kat Eggleston.
Last night the sky was singing, I'll tell you what I heard. A thousand voices ringing, I couldn't catch the words. Tell me I was dreaming, say it was the rain. That's okay, you're right, but I heard singing all the same. Today the earth came dancing, it rose and knocked me flat, as if the ground were stretching and rolling like a cat. I know it was an earthquake, you don't have to tell me that. Still my garden waltzed and spun and left me where I sat. I heard the forest shouting, it does that all the time. Of course the dog was barking, she nearly lost her mind. I could see the raven that was laughing in the trees, but she's convinced that dogs can fly. She thinks a lot like me. You can call me crazy, and you wouldn't be the first. I guess it's not the best thing, but I'll tell you what is worse. I'd rather be crazy if the other road to take is a soul that sees no beauty and a heart that never breaks. So tonight the sky is singing.
Thanks for listening, folks. Stay tuned to the Voice of Vashon. You never know what might come next.